Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, the three most encouraging things about the Timberwolves season this year. We'll talk Jaden McDaniels. We will talk a little bit of Anthony Edwards and also some Tim Connolly stuff. I know that may seem like a surprise, but we'll get to all that here on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody, and a big thank you for making Locked on Wolves your first listen every day. This show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. You can find Locked on Wolves. You can also watch the show along with all the other Minnesota Locked on podcasts. They're available on the Locked on Sports Minnesota app, and that's on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. If you have a Roku or an Amazon Fire TV, an Amazon Fire Stick, you could find that Locked on Sports Minnesota app. More great local sports coverage 24/7 for free. Download the Locked on Sports Minnesota app today. Again, that's on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves. And also at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Today on the show, I want to talk about the three most encouraging things about the Timberwolves season. And there were some bright spots. And I think they're all things that I've kind of like mentioned in passing over the past few weeks, talking about, you know, play reviews, et cetera. I think, well, actually two of the three things for sure. So let's start with Jaden McDaniels. And specifically his growth, and even more specifically, his growth offensively. Like, on its face, yeah, Jaden McDaniels had a really nice year. There's an argument to be made that he should have been on the all-defensive team. But I think the most encouraging thing to me, yes, he continued to improve on defense, and he's phenomenal as a defender. But his improvement on offense is what's most impressive about his season. We talked about this with the Jaden McDaniels player or season review, I should say. That was probably 2 weeks ago. But I guess the higher level overview of this is he basically improved in every category on offense, save for like free throw percentage. Basically everything else, he was better. The main thing, of course, is the 3-point shooting, roughly the same volume, and he shot over 8 points better this year, nearly 40% on threes, and he was over 40% until the very end of the season, 39.8% from beyond the arc on about 3.5 attempts per game. And he also just straight field goal percentage, 51.7%. A better way to look at that would be his 2-point percentage was almost 59% this year. Effective field goal percentage went up 6 points. True shooting percentage went up about 6 points as well. He actually shot less threes from a rate perspective because he had the ball in his hands a little bit more frequently. But that leads us to the next impressive thing about his offensive season, and that was his work attacking closeouts. Because as he began to make those threes, opposing teams were actually trying to contest his jumpers, which gave him the opportunity to put the ball on the floor. And as a rookie, and even last year, in his second year in the league, it felt like McDaniels would either hesitate, pump fake once and shoot a contested three, or he would hesitate, pump fake, take a dribble or two into a long, you know, long mid-range two, pump fake again and shoot a contested mid-range two. That's kind of what his offense was as a rookie. It was, and that's not really an exaggeration. Now, he did make 36% of threes as a rookie, but the shot selection was not good. And then last season, I thought the selection improved, but the actual shot making wasn't as good. This year, we saw McDaniels not only make more threes and force the defense to respect him, he then attacked closeouts with purpose and was getting into the paint instead of just dribbling into an equally difficult or really more difficult and certainly less efficient, less productive 2-point jumper attempt. He actually attempted more field goals at the rim this year, more field goals from the 3 to 10 foot range, more field goals from the 10 to 16 foot range, and he just saw his 3-point attempts reduced. That was really all it was. And you'll give up some of those. If he's going to make 40% and give up a little bit of volume and then just get into the paint more frequently, like, we'll take that, right? Along with that, his assist rate increased. His usage rate was only up slightly, a half a point. His assist rate was up from 6.1% last season to 8.4%. The turnover rate did not climb even by that much. The decision-making was generally good. And the next frontier for McDaniels is to, I don't think he's going to make an ant-like improvement in terms of as a facilitator, because I don't think Jaden McDaniels, I know that the Scottie Pippen comparison was made a while back by Chris Finch. I don't know that he's ever going to be like a point forward, Scottie Pippen style, right? I don't think that's likely the future for Jaden McDaniels, but the next frontier for him, as I like to say, would be to, now that he's got the pump fake and drive in his game, the pump fake drive, make the next right pass. And I think he's there in terms of the next right pass, but like, instead of the good pass, what's the great pass? And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I think that is the next step for Jaden McDaniels, is to not only attack the closeout, but to get into the paint, find the cutter, find the, you know, Rudy in the dunker spot, throw a lob. And that's not his skill set now, but he's so talented, so athletic, so big. And clearly he's made strides each of over, I mean, he's still only 22 years old. The leaps that he's made from rookie season to year two to year three, the progress has been more linear for Jaden McDaniels than it has been for Anthony Edwards. And I would even argue for Carl Anthony Towns over the course of his career. And leap is maybe a strong word. I don't know that he has made a leap either of the first 2 years, but again, linear progress, very clear improvement. And I guess you could argue the offensive improvements this year for Jaden was a leap. I mean, he was 8.1% better from outside the arc. Assist rate up 2.3 points. Just generally a more solid, more put-together basketball player instead of a fantastic defender who's a little bit of a liability on offense. I thought he genuinely, he did a lot of really good things this year offensively. If he could, by the way, along with getting into the paint more often, which I talked about earlier, he also drew more fouls. Now, the free throw percentage dipped by 7 points, but he got there a bunch, and he still shot 74% for the line, just a shade under 74%. So it's not like he was, you know, he wasn't Rudy Gobert at the line, but he was 74% at the line. You can live with that. He was 80% the year before. Again, the volume went up because he got into the paint more. So can he learn how to add, you know, making the next right pass or consistently making the right pass to his game? Now that he's, and I mean, we shouldn't assume he's now a 40% three-point shooter because the year prior he was 31.7%. But if that can solidify to 38, 39, 40%, and he just kind of adds the passing element to his game, I mean, come on. He becomes a legit third star at that point. And if you trade Carl Anthony Towns and you say like, hey, it's Ant's world, Jaden McDaniels' world, Rudy Gobert's world, we're going to long, athletic, good defenders, dynamic on offense. I mean, like that makes sense. And McDaniels would fit that mold. He's going to get his extension here soon too, just like Anthony Edwards. That's a topic for another day. All right. I want to get into the second observation, a positive observation from this season. And we're going to talk some Tip Connelly. I have some positive things to say about the Timberwolves front office boss here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure that every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. A big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, every day is tomorrow on the show. We have a show. I mean, tomorrow's Friday, so Monday through Friday still. We're going to keep kind of going through the offseason here. We're going to get to draft talk here soon. I want to talk some potential second round targets, maybe some potential trade up opportunities in the first round, teams I think the Wolves may try to trade with based on draft position, based on which teams have the most picks, which teams might be interested in one. Carl Anthony Towns, That's all stuff we'll cover here in the next couple of weeks. And again, we're still Monday through Friday here for at least the next couple of months. So make sure to tune in every single day. All right. Speaking of draft night, speaking of potential moves, Tim Connelly. Actually, we're about a year to the day. I think yesterday was a year to the day of Tim Connelly being announced as the Timberwolves' next president of basketball operations. The aggressive move made by the Mark Lori, Alex Rodriguez faction of the Timberwolves ownership group. And while the Rudy Gobert trade is rightfully what Tim Connelly is currently known for in NBA circles and will be known for in NBA circles for the foreseeable future, it's not the only move that he made in the past year. And I promise this isn't like a seeing the forest through the trees type situation here, because I'm not saying the Rudy trade wasn't a bad move. I'm not saying it was a bad move at this moment. Like, and this isn't the point here, but let me get this out of the way. At this moment, it does not look good. Like, there's no question about that. The jury, however, is still out. It would be unfair to say like, hey, it's the worst trade ever. Like, that's way too hot takey. It's not what we do in the show. Setting that aside, because it did happen, right? Everything after that, maybe not literally everything, but the majority of what happened after that, what to me was encouraging. I thought Tim Connelly's moves around the edges of the roster, on the fringes of the roster, the rotation shaping moves were generally really solid. And while depth ended up becoming an issue in part due to injuries, in part due to underperformance, the underperformance was primarily from guys that were already on the roster and simply struggled. Whether or not that was Tim Connelly's fault. I mean, obviously, Tim Connelly could have made moves to get out from under these guys. But like, for instance, the players whose roles struggled the most this year, Jalen Noel and Jordan McLaughlin, I think those would be the two guys that you'd point to, who are players that Tim Connelly inherited. And no doubt the coaching staff, and namely Chris Finch, would have had some influence in those guys staying. We know that Finch likes both those players a great deal based on a lot of the comments he's made, his comments last offseason, lumping Jalen Noel in with Jaden McDaniels and others as part of the Wolves' young core moving forward. Noel had an atrocious season, and Jordan McLaughlin had a really rough season too, obviously missed 30-plus games with a calf injury, and that was a huge factor. But the moves that Connelly himself made were positive. The Kyle Anderson signing, like, it's a joke kind of at this point, but like, probably the best free agent signing in Timberwolves history, right? Like, up there in the conversation. They've got him for another year. Like, and without Kyle Anderson, this team does not win, I don't know, they probably win 4 to 6 less games. I'm just throwing this out there, but like, I mean, he ended up being a starter because of the Karl Anthony Towns injury. He was the only player that could break a zone for this team. Like, teams were playing zone like something crazy, like 30, 40% of the time, not actually, but almost, against the Wolves because they could not figure out how to beat an NBA defensive zone. Kyle Anderson was the only guy that could pick it apart, shockingly. He shot 40% from three this year, a guy that never did that before in his career, all of a sudden was 41% from outside the arc. Everything about the Kyle Anderson signing was great. And you could make the argument that this was the best season of Kyle Anderson's career. Certainly best offseason season of his career. And this is a guy who, this was age 29 season for him. And yet here he is shooting a career high from outside the arc, improving that number by 8 points from 33% in his last year in Memphis to 41% this year in Minnesota. The assist rate, a career high, 22.6%. Ended up running a lot of second team offense because of first the McLaughlin injury, then the McLaughlin struggles, the Jalen Noel struggles. Like, Kyle Anderson, career high in assist rate. And like, what more do you say? Like, the versatility of the player that Chris Finch has often referred to as a Swiss Army knife, defensive versatility, huge signing. And the type of player that the Wolves desperately needed in the offseason. Great signing by Tim Connelly, the Taurean Prince re-signing. Now, I've been, I think, pretty honest about Prince's season on the show. Like, he needed to rebound the basketball better. He needed to be a better defender. I thought he slipped in both those categories pretty clearly this year. Those were two areas the Wolves needed more perimeter defenders, and they needed and really switchable defenders that could fight through screens, stay in front of guys. Prince struggled in that regard this year, and it's something I think he's always been a little overrated as a defender, but he's been passable in the past, and he struggled this year defensively. Rebounding the basketball, he was miserable, and the Wolves need more out of their rotation guys that aren't front court players, and I know Prince played some four, but he's primarily a three. They need more out of their wings. They need more out of their guards from a rebounding perspective, and Torian Prince did not do his part there. However, he was a really good three-point shooter for this team. He shot 38.1% from three. He, which, by the way, like, I mean, it was up a half point from last year and in line with his career number, actually better than his career mark. He's a career 37.2% three-point shooter. He's 38.1% this year. Shot the ball well from outside the arc. I thought did a pretty good job, even initiating some offense. Was clearly an important locker room presence. He had some injury, illness, personal issues that all kind of cropped up this season and impacted his overall results, I think, and that could be what influenced some of the defensive issues. I don't know. In general, a nice rotation player. The question becomes now, is he worth the team option for next year? It's like $9-plus million. We've had that conversation. We'll have it again. All that to say, you'd be hard-pressed to argue that it was not a good signing by Tim Connelly, even if he was a little underwhelming for what the Wolves really needed out of that role. Bringing him back was important because if you don't have Torian Prince, you're relying on a rookie like a Wendell Moore, a Josh Minot. You're giving more minutes to Jalen Noel, even though you don't really want to. I don't know what else you do. Like, they would have brought somebody else in who probably wouldn't have been as good. So the Prince signing, if for no reason other than he was solid, a really good three-point shooter and a good locker room guy, was good. The D'Angelo Russell trade for Mike Conley. Clearly, that was a success for the Wolves, regardless of how D'Lo's season ended. We talked about that on Wednesday's show. Basically, just kind of like, this is going great in the regular season for the Lakers and then slowly losing his role in the playoffs. We've seen that, right? Regardless of that, the Conley fit, Conley is such a better fit for Minnesota than D'Lo, and there's a laundry list of reasons. The lack of, he doesn't have the need to have the ball in his hands from a usage perspective. He doesn't need to get up a certain number of shots, but he's a superior catch and shoot 3-point shooter to D'Angelo Russell. And what the Wolves need out of Mike Conley is a fourth option who could catch and shoot threes, can score off the dribble if he absolutely has to, play solid defense, run offense, all the things without needing the ball in his hands as frequently, with the ability to pick his spots. For all those reasons, Conley's a much better fit. He was fantastic in a Timberwolves uniform. Mike Conley looked a lot like All-Star Mike Conley from a couple of years ago with the Utah Jazz, much more so than he did last season in the first half of this season in Utah, which is, I guess that's still like 120 games between last year and this year in Utah. But he was looking old. And then in the back half of his age 35 season with the Wolves, he looked revitalized in a sense, and perhaps part of that's playing with Rudy, perhaps part of it is just being injected into a playoff race, whatever that might. I mean, it's not like Utah wasn't. I mean, they were the best team in the regular season last year, so it's not like he wasn't a playoff race last year. But he just looked revitalized, and the numbers were all good. I thought he did a good job scoring when he needed to. The Wolves could have used maybe even a little more out of him there, but he shot 42% for three in a Wolves uniform, which is far above his. It's in line with what he did in Utah over the last three seasons, but still above his career average of 38.2% from three. So everything about the Conley acquisition and also the fact that D'Lo's now a free agent and someone has to overpay him to get him. That's just how that's going to work out. The Wolves already have Mike Conley they have cost certainty for their point guard role for next year. Beyond that, we don't know. But sitting here right now, the Wolves know who their point guard is in 23-24, and they know what it's going to cost, and they know he's a fit with Rudy Gobert, and they know he can play with Anthony Edwards. That was a good move by Tim Connelly. So the moves around the edges, on the fringes, the rotation guys, and that's also, and by the way, the early returns, in my opinion, of Wendell Moore Jr. and Josh Minot are good. They didn't have to do much this year, but I like them both still as NBA. I think Moore's ceiling is probably as a rotation type guy, bench guy. I think Josh Minot has potentially a future as a Jared Vanderbilt, Brandon Clark-ish type player. Matchups are going to matter a lot. He could be a starter at the four, switchable, versatile defender. I think that that's on the table for Minot. I think he might even have a higher ceiling more likely to obtain that type of a ceiling than Wendell Moore. But either way, nothing that suggests those were bad picks at this point. And Tim Collins is going to have an opportunity to make a big, 53rd overall pick in this draft, try and find another diamond in the rough, which he did frequently with the Denver Nuggets with second round draft picks. All right, let's close the show with one more positive takeaway from this Timberwolves season. All right, the last positive takeaway It's not the only other positive takeaway, but the last one we'll talk about here today is specific to Anthony Edwards, and even more specifically, related to his, we'll call it point ant, his ability to initiate offense. And Anthony Edwards ran the point pretty frequently this year, you know, technically by name, I guess, or by profile. You wouldn't say that he really played much point guard at all. In fact, I'm going to look at this. I don't think Basketball Reference would ever say, it says 2% of the time he played point guard this year. He initiated offense far more often than 2% of the time, obviously. In fact, often with Mike Conley on the floor, and even the Wolves did this with D'Angelo Russell, Ant would bring the ball up the floor and initiate offense. A lot of the time, Conley would bring it up, and then they would get into an action where Ant has the ball in his hands and attacks. And teams started to defend that very differently. Teams started to load up on Ant the way that they do on Luka Doncic, on James Harden, and essentially try and trap him in the middle of the floor, which is not an easy thing to do. But Ant was, at times, jumpy enough that it worked to an extent for opposing teams. It was really the only way that opposing defenses could slow down Anthony Edwards, because nobody could really stay in front of him in one-on-one. Your best chance is to goad him into a difficult jumper, right? That's the best way to defend Ant. If you're going to stay home, you have to try your best to stay in front of him. And the thing with Ant is, and this is not a positive thing, so I'm a little off track here, but nobody can actually stay in front of Ant one-on-one. And if Ant decides he's going to get to the rim against single coverage, he can do that. And he needs to work a little on finishing. We've talked about that. He needs to work a little on drawing fouls at the rim. But he can't be stopped one-on-one. Your best chance is to goad him into shooting jumpers, and eventually he'll do it. But really, it depends on the night. And this is actually maybe an interesting topic for the offseason for the podcast is, if you look at his game log, like how many of those games was he shooting, like say he shot the ball 18 times, like how many games does he have 12 paint attempts versus only a couple of three attempts? And how many games does he have of 18 shots? It's, you know, 8 3-pointers and only 5 paint attempts and a few mid-range. Like, it feels to me like it's one or the other. I don't think there were too many super well-balanced shot selection games. And that's not to say that, like, sometimes when his three is falling and teams are giving it to him, like, sure, shoot it. He's a good pull-up three-point shooter. He's a good three-point shooter overall. We know that. But nobody can guard him one-on-one. And when teams would load up on him, he started to show the ability to create a little bit. And he was better creating in pick and roll, dribble handoff situations when he was single covered or going against a set defense that wasn't trying to trap him. But all that to say, I thought he showed a lot of growth. The decision-making, left-handed passing, one-handed left-handed passing, vision, skip passes. He had a lot of passes to assists or hockey assists this year. His overall assist rate was over 19%. It was up almost 2 points from last year, and the turnover rate was only up 0.8, which is impressive considering how often he had the ball in his hands. And I thought what Ant did with the ball in his hands from a distribution standpoint was really impressive this season. There aren't as many, like, actually, we talked about this not that long ago, the B-ball index numbers about his drive and assist rate. And I mean, that stuff's really impressive. The fact that Anthony Edwards can get downhill, get into the paint, and something that he really didn't do at all his rookie or sophomore season in the league, now he's able to find shooters on the perimeter. And if I remember correctly, and I didn't pull these numbers up, but the B-ball index numbers talked about his assist kickout rate, and that was much higher than his passing in the paint. He's still not comfortable throwing that lob to Rudy or dumping, you know, a drop-off pass to Rudy at the rim or drop-off pass to Nas at the rim. He's much more comfortable getting into the paint and then kicking out to a three-point shooter, which a lot of times is a higher percentage play anyway, because obviously the point expectancy on a three-point attempt that's semi-open when you're kicking it out to an open shooter is going to be higher than dropping it off to even a Rudy Gobert in the paint. But Ant has to, teams know when he gets into the paint, he's not looking for a lob to Rudy. He's not looking to dump it off to another big. He doesn't do it enough for it to be successful or for teams to have to be worried about it. So they collapse on him. And then they know to get back home, to get into rotation, to recover, to X out on the perimeter, to contest potential shooters, because Ant will kick the ball out. He just doesn't often drop it off. So the encouraging piece here is the willingness and ability to kick the ball out on drives for open three-point shots, things he did not do his first two seasons in the league. And that, to me, is very impressive and encouraging. And if Mike Conley's in the hole, in the fold for all of next season, I think it's pretty likely we see a lot of point Ant with Conley playing off the ball, catch and shoot situation. And he's like 43% catch and shoot Conley is over the last couple seasons, 44%, something like that from beyond the arc. So put the ball in Ant's hands, space out Mike Conley, Karl Anthony Towns, figure out what you want to do with Rudy. If you're pick and roll, Ant and Rudy pick and roll has to improve. Put him in the dunker spot. The spacing gets a little wonky, but Ant is so overpowering. If you have Conley, Towns, and even McDaniels, who shot, again, 39% this year from three, if you've got, that's effectively three 40% three-point shooters, right? Basically, Conley, Towns, and McDaniels. Figure out the spacing with Gobert and the chemistry there, and I don't know how teams are going to stop this offense if it's all done correctly. That's up to Chris Finch to figure out. But all that to say, I thought the point Ant piece of this season was very encouraging. If I'm, you know, as a Timberwolves fan, I think Wolves fans should feel good about the strides that Ant made distributing, facilitating the Wolves offense this year. All right. That's all we have for you today. And of course, tomorrow's Friday. We will have a show Friday, and then we'll be back next week again, Monday through Friday. Conference finals almost over. We'll talk a little finals next week. I think I'm intrigued by this. We're not there yet, but the potential Denver-Miami finals matchup. I'm excited to potentially see that. I think that could be a lot of fun. A lot of former Wolves involved in the series as well. So, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that next week too. That's all we have for today. A big thank you for those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. You can find Locked On Wolves. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon. That's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.